Quick programming note, our guest today is Kayla Harrison, and in this episode we gave out the wrong date for her next fight. The correct date is Tuesday, December 31st at Madison Square Garden in New York City, where Kayla will be fighting for the PFL Lightweight Championship. It's happening a day after this episode comes out, so tune in to ESPN2 at 7 p.m. Eastern to support Kayla fighting for her championship belt on New Year's Eve. Now, on to the show.
This is so cool. I had no idea you were a fighter. I thought you were just two business ladies in there.
Yes, I wore my blazer today, so everyone would know I'm not just a fighter. I'm business, too.
That's right. You're more than a fighter, for sure.
That's it.
Okay. See, I get that energy. Mike, you ready?
Go for it.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Evan Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson.
And Mike, we got a great guest in here, man. Love having the strong females in here, getting that female perspective in the hot box. Kayla Harrison.
Kayla.
Fighter.
Yes.
Of the PFL.
Yes.
Absolutely.
5-0 fighter.
5-0?
5-0.
Yeah.
Two-time Olympic champion.
Really?
Gold medalist.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Two-time gold medalist.
Thank
Very
you.
Impressive.
I'm supposed to tell you my accolades otherwise.
Tell us some more.
Yeah, tell us.
Oh, tell you what? You want me to start at the beginning? Where you want me to start?
Start at the beginning. How did you...
Everything about you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do judo. Yeah. So it's... I used to do judo, like more grappling. I'm not a striker by any means. But I started judo when I was 6 years old. My mom took it in college, so when I was a little girl and I saw a karate commercial on TV, I was like running around the house, breaking shit, like just being a total menace and a maniac. And she was like, okay, I got to get you involved in something. And she knew how good judo was for self-discipline, self-defense. She took me to the local dojo and I just fell in love with it. I mean, the first time I bowed on the mat, I loved learning how to fall, throwing the boys, all of it. But
that's
I sucked.
Awesome.
I wasn't very good.
Well,
not when I first started.
So how did you get good?
Well, I went to my first tournament and I lost in about 15 seconds. And then I went to another tournament and I lost in about 30. And then I went to another and I lasted a whole minute. And finally, like 3 years after I started, I went to this little local tournament. There was probably like 100 people there. It was in Indiana. I grew up in Ohio. And I'll never forget, I beat this girl who always used to beat me. Her name was Nikki Schulteis. I still remember her name. And I got to stand on top of the podium, and my mom was at the bottom, like, taking pictures like she's the paparazzi. And, like, that's when I knew I didn't want to be an actor. I didn't want to be a doctor. I just wanted to throw people and be the best in the world at it. So I started training all the time. I mean, I was, like, 9 years old. I started going, instead of three times a week, I would go every day. And then by the time I got to middle school, I was waking up early in the morning to train and then going to the wrestling practice with the boys and doing my homework in the car on the way to judo at night. And by the time I was 14, I made the Olympic trials for the first time. And then when I was 16, I obviously told my mom some bad news about my childhood. I told her that I had been sexually abused by my coach since I was 8 years old. So from that point, I was definitely a train wreck. I was a mess. My mom pressed charges. The FBI got involved, and he served 10 years in a federal prison. But in the interim, she was left with this kid who just, like, I didn't get out of bed in the morning. You know, I didn't want to live. I was suicidal. I was depressed, angry. I hated the world. I hated my life. I thought it was my fault. So she made a really tough decision, and we packed up a U-Haul, and I moved 836 miles to Boston, Massachusetts, the place where dreams come true, apparently. And that's where I met my Olympic coaches, Jimmy and his father, Big Jim. And they really changed my life, and they saved my life, you know. They took this 16-year-old kid who had dreams and had goals but had no direction, and they turned me into a two-time Olympic champion, America's first.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about yourself? What's your illusion of yourself, your opinion of yourself about all this good stuff?
Yeah, I feel like I'm happy with where I am in life. I'm at peace. You know, I've forgiven. I've moved on. I started a foundation. I wrote a book to help educate. I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish in the judo world, but I still feel like I'm meant for something more. You know, I feel like when you win the Olympics, especially in a sport like judo, you get a very small window of time where you get to leave an impact. And I'm not satisfied with that window. And I feel like MMA gives me a golden opportunity to have an even bigger impact and an even bigger window. I mean, the amount of it's the fastest growing sport in the world. The amount of people who tune in and watch grows every day. So if I can get those eyes on me, and if I can be so good they can't ignore me, then hopefully I can help be the change in the world that I want to see.
I mean, that's so incredibly courageous.
Thank you.
You know, to have opened up about what you had been through, you know, to someone who could help.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, it's not like I'm not going to paint some picture like I'm this heroine or something. Like, I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. I hated my mom. I didn't want to talk to the police. I didn't want to go through the court process. I didn't want to move to Boston. I didn't want to do judo. I wanted to run away. I wanted to move to New York and serve you coffee at Starbucks, you know? I didn't want to be the golden girl. But I'm very fortunate that I have people around me who believed in me before I believed in myself. And they refused to allow me to accept mediocrity, you know? So it definitely takes a village, and it definitely takes a special group of people to make something out of what that was. Because it was a dark time. It was a shitty thing. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But I truly believe everything happens for a reason. And it happened to me for a reason. And
what do you think that reason is?
What do I think the reason is about my past?
No, why is you getting these blessings?
Because I believe that I'm meant for something greater. I believe that I'm meant to help change the world. I see our society. I see what our women role models are like right now, and I see things that I want to change. You know, I want a little girl to look up and say, man, I want to be badass like her. I want to be able to talk to someone, or I want to, that something similar happened to me, and I'm not afraid. I'm fearless. I can fight back. I can speak out. I want that. I want our society to have that positive impact and positive
like?
Change.
What is fearless like? What's that like?
Fearless is, doesn't mean you don't have fear. I'm scared all the time. I'm scared every time I step in the cage. I'm scared every time I go to sparring, you know? But having fear and continuing on despite it, that's what fearless is. And I want to live my life fearlessly. I want to wake up every day and be the best possible version of myself, whether that means doing the dishes to the best of my ability, tying my shoes to the best of my ability, striking, MMA, grappling, writing, being a good partner, being a good person, being a good daughter. Whatever it is, I want to be the best possible version of myself.
Why the urge to improve yourself?
I don't know. Can you explain that? Can you describe that? I mean, it's just an inner...
Yeah.
It's just an inner thing. Yeah. I've never... People always ask me, oh, what motivates you? What keeps you going? What, you know, you've done this, you've done that. And I'm like, I don't read books to be motivated. I don't listen to podcasts to be motivated. I don't listen to songs. Like, I don't need to. I don't need anything outside of me to motivate me. It's all right here. Like, I just... That's it. Just me.
What do you think about that, Mike? Do you have an answer for why do you want to continue to improve yourself?
Our fears, our shame, our enviness, our jealousies. Mm. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think the urge to be better is really influenced by negative thoughts more than positive?
No, they work both in hand.
I agree with that.
Because now what we're talking about now we're talking about getting in touch with our ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Know what the ego means?
Mm-hmm. Well, vaguely.
God out. Me.
Yes.
About me. Nobody else exists. My mother, my brother, nobody. The only reason they exist because I allowed them to exist. In my heart and in my mind. Our ego is such a destructive, self-destructive entity, but it's so powerful.
So powerful.
It gives you so much power. How can I let this go? I'm not letting this go.
It's intoxicating.
Fuck everybody.
It's intoxicating.
Yeah, but it steals away your humanity. You know? Gives you everything you want, but it takes so much more in return.
I knew I was going to learn lessons when I came here today.
You know, I think of myself like this. I'm so happy we brought that up. I think of myself, and I said this before to you. What happened to me when I met Customato? What did he tell me that fed my ego to make me think that I was special, that I'm somebody? Why do I get the, what made me think that I'm somebody? Why am I somebody? Why do I think I deserve to be seen? People need to see me and hear from me and look at me. You know what I mean? That's what my ego tells me. You know what I mean? But then it says, who the fuck are you? Who do you think you are?
Mm.
Your mother and father ain't shit. You ain't shit. You never been shit. So why do you think everybody needs to look at you and listen to what you need to say? You know? And that's how you get in bad things. You have to know our only purpose here is to serve God. You know what I mean?
Well,
our humbleness.
On that note, Mike, don't you think? Because there's two sides to needing to be heard, needing to be seen, putting yourself out there, because in some respects, in some cases, in some situations, doing that might be the thing that spirit, the universe, right, has intended for you.
Right. Maybe that's your purpose.
You know? No, listen, I agree with that 100%. Because I remember at a time when someone was asking me in an interview, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? And I would say, at 20, I thought I was God. And at 53, I ask God every day to have mercy on my soul.
Mm.
You know, those are the difference.
Yeah.
And how could it just come from like 33 years? I have, what happened within 33 years? I don't think like that. Don't
a
know.
Lot, a lot. Though, probably, right?
Yeah.
A lot.
Imagine how much humbleness happened.
Yeah.
Imagine how much I had to be humbled.
Yeah.
To have that thing, to have that same thought pattern, like, to change from that to this.
It's like a total 180, right?
Yeah.
You're a totally different person now.
Yeah, you just hope God has mercy on your soul sometimes, you know? Things that you said to people.
You think it takes age to get to that point?
I don't know if it's age, it's just knowledge, the right teacher at the right
life
time.
Life experiences.
Yes. Because sometimes some people never learn.
Yeah.
You know, well to the human eye, it appears
right.
They never learn.
Right.
God may have spotted something, say he got it.
Yeah.
But to the human eye, he looks like he's still doing that.
Yeah.
Oh my God! You know,
yeah.
We're the best. We're judges. We're great judges. People like to judge.
Mm-hmm. I heard this great thing a couple nights ago about how there is no bravery without vulnerability.
In order to be brave, you have to feel that you're a coward. In order to be brave, you yourself have to feel that you're a coward. In order to have some kind of to bring some kind of image of bravery, you have to feel insecure.
Yeah, you have to step out on the ledge.
Yeah, you have to risk everything.
Yeah, but you have to feel insecure. For that feeling to come up, you have to feel less than a person or a man.
Hmm.
Less than yourself. Let me leave it at that. Less than what you feel you should be. That's why that feeling comes up. You don't feel like you should. This is who I should be, and you don't feel that way.
Hmm.
That's why it comes up.
I don't know.
Yes.
You think so?
I really believe that.
I mean,
you have to be. I think it's about the. To me, what Mike is saying is that
you're improving yourself.
You have to, in order to come out or to be seen as brave or whatever, you know, you have to be willing to put yourself in a situation, risk everything, where the stakes are really high, where you're going to be vulnerable and exposed to potential death.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you be brave if you didn't feel afraid of, like, a
right,
coward? You
right.
Didn't have that feeling if you didn't feel like a coward.
Yeah.
You had to prove to yourself, I'm not this guy, that I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way I feel, and I don't want to be that guy.
I don't want to be the guy
who feels
turns away.
Yeah.
Who that succumbs to the
fear.
Yeah,
it's the feeling that you don't understand, but you don't want that feeling in your life no more. You think, only way, if I don't do anything, it's going to stay with me. If I get up and respond to this action right now, it will go.
Yeah, well, you'll have regret too, right? Like, if I never do it, then I'll never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I hate. That is, you're right. That is a huge fear of mine. Huge fear. Like, I was never going to do MMA. It was never in my plans. But I was always like, well, what if? If you don't, what's going to happen 20 years from now? You're never going to have this opportunity again. What if you were supposed to do it?
No, you were supposed to do this. we're not steering the ship. We believe that we're steering our ship.
I know.
You know we're not. We're not doing
it. I know.
There's always those things in life that you know you have to do. because it's just part of your destiny. But you might, and you have fear about it.
And you know what? The universe totally, completely, if you don't listen to it, it shits in your path. Like, it's like, hey, right.
Yeah.
No, this is what you're, like, it'll just put roadblock after roadblock after roadblock until you finally go down that path that it wants you to go down. Like, listen, asshole, this is what you're supposed to do.
I totally agree.
100%.
I agree.
100%.
So what was it for you? I mean, you came out, you had literally reached the highest mountaintop in judo of winning multiple gold medals in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So what was it for you that, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, as whatever, however you can answer that, you know, what was it that led you into, oh, you know, MMA is probably the path?
Honestly, I used to think before this conversation that it was sort of like a, I don't know. I think maybe it was my ego now. I think maybe it was like a desire.
I want to show everybody.
To be remembered, you know, to not be forgotten.
Yeah.
I don't want, I mean, that obviously judo, this little small pocket of the world will know me, but that's not enough. Like, I don't want to, I want everyone to remember my name, which is pretty selfish.
No. We need to figure it out.
I'm a selfish.
Yeah. We're interested in that.
And I don't like myself that I feel that way. And it's awesome that you love yourself and you feel that
way.
Why, who the fuck am I to think that I should reign with Alexander the Great or Achilles?
Am
I? Nothing. I come from trash.
That's not true, though. You're Mike Tyson.
Boom. See? But that's not how I think. You got to think from our beginning. Who am I? Who is the first Mike Tyson? Why was I born? What is my purpose here? Really fighting for people to know me from fighting? From hurting other people? That's what I want to be known for? Biting people's ears and talking really nasty to people?
What do you want to be known for then?
Excuse me?
Then what do you want to be known for now?
I just want to be known as just a servant of God. You know what I mean?
It's awesome.
Don't want God to humble me anymore. I get that I'm afraid of he humbles, because he doesn't humble me like I get sick or something. He humbles me like he takes one of my children away or something. You know?
Yeah.
That's how that stuff works. And I think I'm a tough guy. I think I'm somebody special. When you can't help your baby, your baby's dying, what are you going to do, Mr. Big Shot?
Shit.
That's just the world we live in, though. You know, that's just our world. Don't, no matter how big you are, how much money you got, it humbles you.
Yeah.
The universe will humble you.
Big time.
Damn, now I'm scared.
You don't have to worry about it. No, it loves you. You have the beautiful spirit. You're so special. That's why you're here, and that's what you're for. You're special. Trust me, you don't feel it. You know, most people that have that special light, they don't see it or feel it, you know? That's the amazing thing about human beings and their humbleness. They don't even see the light.
Sometimes I feel it. Is that weird to say that?
No.
Sometimes I feel
it. No, you have to feel
Sometimes
it.
I do. Very
How old
rarely.
Are you? You're 20.
29.
I have to.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what it is. You don't even understand what's making you say what you say.
I know.
What makes us say what we say.
I know.
You don't know nothing. We just. And how do we ever learn anything? You know.
Yeah.
How do we learn who we are? Do we die not even knowing meeting God? What happens when we die? Hopefully that we figure it out, right? Imagine it's just a blank state. You don't even figure out anything about ourselves. You don't even. You know?
I think you come out of it and you're just like, wow, it was all just a big joke.
Yeah.
And I'm just part of everything.
I took myself so seriously.
Yeah.
I had to win this. If I don't win this, I want to die.
Yeah.
Sick fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's exactly how I feel.
Oh, yeah. When I want to die, I hope I die. Kill
that's me. What it is,
fuck
man.
With the ego.
What?
Yeah.
Why? It's all good.
You just think it's your whole. It can.
We get so
you.
Wrapped up.
No,
we
but
get
you
so,
just think that's who you are. You're no. Yeah. Longer, yeah. You're unidentifiable without it.
Then you don't have it. Nobody will like me anymore.
That's what happened to me after the Olympics. Like, I literally woke up the middle of the night of my last Olympics after I won, and I was having a panic attack.
Wow.
I was like, "Who the fuck is Kayla Harrison? If she doesn't do judo, who is she? I didn't know. If I wasn't, and what if I had lost?" Like, what if I was Kayla Harrison, not the Olympic champion? Like, what does that mean? Who am I? I literally had an anxiety attack. I was like, I got to find something else to do. I got to get a goal. I got to get up. I got to go. I got to do something. Because I was scared shitless.
But all those that's amazing that you had during the Olympics and during your beginning to get to the Olympics and weight problems or whatever it may be, all that prepares you for life. That prepares you for being a friend. That prepares
for
you
sure.
For
no, sister. Sports
that
simulate
prepares
life.
You for being a wife, a mother, all that stuff. Does. Mm.
Yeah.
All my, I never thought my sport life would help me become, you know, I don't know. Yeah, help me become a better parent. I'm not saying great, but it's been my discipline, my patience that I never had before for human beings and I had for myself that I put into life. You know, I never thought about it. My discipline, not always being judgmental. Like whatever I feel, if it wasn't necessary for me to say it because I wanted to hear myself talk, I just don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like those little things.
Yeah.
I love hearing myself talk. I love hearing myself believe that I'm saying something intelligent. Don't care how it makes them feel. Don't care even if it makes them go out and kill themselves afterwards. I have to hear myself talk.
Mm.
It's my fucking voice. I'm somebody. I need to hear myself, and anybody else needs to hear me too. That's how the ego works.
Well, Mike, you're doing amazing shit now, bro.
For real.
You're going to be known as the fucking sage warrior, dude. You know?
No, I don't know. I just want to know.
No, I know you don't know, and you don't have to know. It's not for you. It's for everyone else.
I just feel like I walk around every day, you know, sometimes with an ego. Sometimes, like you said, we're doing great stuff here. And then I say, who am I? Where did I come from? What is my real purpose here? I don't even read and write that. Well, how do I run this corporation?
Because it's bigger than just X's and O's.
No.
And
no,
the right things on paper.
That's misspelled Tyson Ranch. I might be tripped. I might fuck up on ranch. But I own this big shit, and this shit is, you know, that's just a weird
that's
shit.
That's badass.
Hell yeah, dude. It is, man. Hope everyone is having a happy holiday and is ready for an incredible 2020. Me and the Hotboxing crew are very excited for this new year because we've got some awesome things popping off. We've got some secret plans we can't even reveal yet. Top secret stuff discussed behind closed doors and smoke-filled rooms, including a lot of mushrooms. But one thing we can reveal is we have new Hotboxing t-shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, and more coming to the Hotboxing shop. Yes, I said Hotboxing jackets. They're dope as hell. Be the coolest motherfucker while you stay warm. Go to hotboxingpodcast.com and sign up for the all-new Hotboxing Hot Sheet, where we will send you discount codes the second our new merch is in stock. You'll also get all the insider news about Hotboxing and Tyson Ranch. You'll get great information on cannabis, how to use it, tips on diet, exercise, and mindfulness, all in that brand new hot sheet. Again, sign up for the Hotboxing Hot Sheet at hotboxingpodcast.com and make 2020 your little bitch.
Do you know what electric dance music is?
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're getting ready to be involved with electric dance music.
Oh, boy. Man, I can shuffle with the best
that's
of them.
That's going to be dope, man.
Learn how to shuffle. I don't want to shoot my own horn.
Serious stuff.
Well, you'll have to come out.
I just went to Jamaica after my last fight, and I was there for a couple days, and I was hanging out with some of the locals. I got my hair braided in box braids and was, like, just chilling.
Nice.
And this woman said something to me. I didn't know this word, but I think that it's like, it's going to be my new motto. And it's like, Jamaica, they have this word, Irie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's like, it's all Irie, man. Like, it's all, everything's good vibes. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it. That's what I want.
That's your new motto?
Is, you know, this place is all Irie. Like, it's all good.
We love a lot here.
One love. For sure, one love here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
Well, something on that about how sports prepare you for life.
Mm.
You know, to me, any, I don't know about all sports, but to me, any combat sports, fighting, football, rugby, boxing, of course, any of those types of sports where you're engaged in physical combat with another individual.
Yeah.
That is an analogy. That's a physical analogy for the ups and downs and the flow of emotional and psychic life. You know, and the things that we go through that we feel that nothing is happening. You know, nothing is happening around us, yet we have all of these feelings.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's shame and guilt or sadness or anger or resentment or whatever the fuck it is, you know. When you are able to overcome that adversity in the physical realm, it better prepares you to do it in the emotional realm.
True.
Angry sports is pretty much, that's all sports pretty much is emotions.
Right.
You know what I mean? We worry more than not getting knocked out. I'm worried about being humiliated just by losing.
Right.
The fact of losing humiliates me more than being hurt.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the concept.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Totally.
The concept of failure.
Yeah.
Who cares about getting hurt? I've come from trash. I don't get hurt. You want to give me $2 million and you're going to tell me my finger hurt, I'm going to postpone the fight? Chop my finger off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
The concept of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of how I feel about myself and this situation of where I've come from and this big opportunity came, I'll give my life to it, you know?
Yeah.
I recently, and not my last fight, but the fight before, I went to my first decision. Mm-hmm. And
were you nervous or you pretty much knew you dominated?
I knew that I had dominated, but I started crying in the cage.
That's amazing.
Because I went to a decision. And I got so much backlash for crying. And people are saying I was a poor sport and what a crybaby and this and that. And I was like, I think these people don't realize like how badly, not just how scared you are to lose as a, when you put yourself in that position, but how badly you want to win. Like, I would do anything to win.
This is another concept, right? Fighters, in general, fighters believe that by fighting and winning that we're winning honor.
Mm.
But we don't. We can't win honor because we're born with honor. We can only lose it.
Mm.
You know? So we have the wrong concept of fighting. Fighting has to be out of love for being the best in what you possess.
Damn.
So powerful, man.
Can I take some notes?
Yeah.
That's when we come down to the fact of fighting. Because fighting is so, when you think about it, it's so, when we think about our logic, it's barbaric. Our hands are not meant for this. We're not built for fighting, but still it arises our highest instincts.
Yeah.
You know? And so we look at it as being honorable. That certain people, there are people that are willing to die to prove that they're the best. And it goes, and that goes to such a deep level of commitment and belief and ego and all that stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, you have a titan. Now, I've trained hard to become this guy, but I've never learned how to handle this situation.
How to handle what comes with being that.
Yeah, how to handle a situation. I don't know, what's this all about? What do you mean? Why are you crying at me? Why are you naming your children after me? What's this all about? Hey, stop, I'm a human being. That's not what you wanted to be, though. You wanted to be a gladiator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
You wanted to be a god.
Until it's too late.
You didn't listen.
I keep thinking I want that, and I'm ready for that, but...
You have to find out if you are or not. You might get all this stuff and get sucked up and say, oh, this is not enough. I quit this box. I want to be a business. I want to own a company now. I want to reign. I want to destroy that company. Listen, God gives you what you want. He gives you everything you want, and then you decide if this is what I really want.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Everything comes with being best and being the greatest. So come, you got lawsuits, you got betrayal of love and all that stuff. That all comes with being the best.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the dark side of love, right? Betrayal. That comes with being the best too.
Yeah.
Either you're doing it or somebody's doing it on you. It's just betrayal.
Yeah.
So true. Mike is just, you know, Mike's the man. He's full of wisdom.
Real stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what time it is. Come on.
I know, brother.
You know that stuff.
I know, but you're just,
but
you know.
Why do we do that to people? Why do we do that? Why do we feel the need to get ahead? Oh, we're not going to live no. I got to get it over now. My life is almost over. I need to get this, I need to make this trick happen.
I'm so obsessed with squeezing all of the juice out of life. I'm so scared I'm going to miss something or. or regret something. I'm so obsessed with that.
This is what I found out about that situation. You know what I found out? And this goes with this too. I used to think I could fuck every girl in the world. I got before I die, I'm gonna fuck every motherfucking bitch, man. And God laughs at me. My ego, he laughing. Oh man, it's just a trip, man. Then you and at the end of the day, you realize you're nothing. When you really want to look at yourself, when you really what's that word that we call at the end of the day we do. Well, you look up all the shit that you did during the whole day of your life.
Inventory.
We look up our inventory, right?
Yeah.
And then we say to ourselves, God, man, I did all that stuff, and I still ain't shit. Wow. All that fucking energy I put on doing this, and I haven't moved a fucking marble. Mm-hmm. I haven't did nothing.
Well, I think that's why you have to find peace in life through something other than what you do.
There's no doubt about it, but I realize it's an inside job. It's an inside job. You ain't going to find it out in the world.
Well, the universe is pulling us all along where we need to go to fulfill whatever task, mission it is that is destined for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we are not what we do. You know, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter if you're a janitor or a fucking superstar athlete, actor, business person. It doesn't matter like what the label is, what the environment is, you know, because your purpose has so much more to do with the energy you're spreading into the world. And the minute, you know, it might be something like you might not have any idea of what it means to a person at your local coffee shop when you ask them how their morning is going.
Yeah.
Like you don't understand, yeah. Like that little conversation, you know, could be just send a ripple effect through their entire life that inspires them to be whoever it is that they're supposed to become.
Right.
You know.
All of those decisions that you make in your life, all those tiny, small, minute, 1 second split decisions that you make lead up to every single, like, I think about that all the time. What I'm doing right here in this moment is shaping what's going to happen 10 years from now.
5 minutes.
Or
absolutely.
In other people's lives as well, like not just mine.
Whoever might hear you.
Right.
You might, all of a sudden, somebody might become the greatest fighter ever live after you're telling you, a woman. She might become the greatest fighter ever live after you're hearing
right?
Story. I know you think that's crazy, but
I'm hopeful for it. I think it's amazing.
I saw the interviews and I told them, I said, if it wasn't for me, I wouldn't even be doing fighting. I saw you and you turned me out. About being a fighter, they laugh at me, think I'm bullshitting, I'm just having something to say.
Right.
Yeah. You know, some people don't take themselves that serious as well. Some people have great success, but they don't think much of themselves.
Mm.
And some people got little success, and they think everything of themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You make so much fucking noise.
Exactly.
The guy that fucking, a God doesn't say nothing. He's shy. And I look at that, and I don't understand that either.
Mm.
And that ego, it's the same thing telling you you're a piece of shit.
Oh yes.
And the same thing telling you how great you are.
World. Yeah. That's where that's it then.
It's the same.
That's why I've seen these great superstar masters quiet and sit down, very respectful, very kind, and act like a fucking surf or a slave or something.
Yeah.
And I didn't never figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with him? I said, is he okay? Is he in pain from old age or something? He's very kind and nice and don't think much of himself.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Even smaller than that, even smaller than the daily interactions we have, the very act of just being, it's like a rock in a stream of water. You know, as small as you are, you have an effect on the flow of that stream and on the flow of that water. Just being here.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that you can just sit at home on the couch, watching TV, feeling sorry for yourself and having an effect in the universe. That's going against, like you said, you know, that's when the universe just shits on you. You know, because you have to be willing to take the steps to get into action for then to be in, you know, to have an effect in the universe.
Right. That's when you're most at peace with your life, with what you feel internally aligns with what's outside and what's going on in the universe. That's when you feel the most you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. I think so.
My experience of what I've been dealing with, like Alan Watts and these guys,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all about dying before we die.
Yeah.
Letting go of shit.
Well, I think that's all what I'm talking about, man. Like, that's been my experience, you know? Anytime my life starts getting chaotic and fucked up and my thinking gets crazy when I start thinking I'm something.
Me too.
You know? When I just let
go... fucking mirror and I start looking in the mirror, some bullshit happens.
Yeah.
And I think I'm...
Yeah, it starts to go to hell.
When I'm into me, when I'm all about me, some bullshit goes off, fucks everything.
That's
relationship, everything. The kids don't like me no more.
Yeah. No, the dogs.
No, everything.
Yeah.
So when I'm in my ego's...
my vibrations are off.
Oh, the whole kids, everybody, they leave the fucking house, fucking people. I'm in the house by myself. They take the dog too, just like you said. I'm in the house by myself.
Yeah.
I didn't like that feeling.
Yeah. Well, because that's, you know, and that's when you know that you're off your path, you know?
Yeah. That's such a, yeah.
So, how do you like the PFL? How has that experience been?
I love it. It's amazing. I mean, one of the reasons I was so hesitant to do MMA was because of just the environment. You know, it's very much entertainment. It's very much shit talking, and how pretty you are gets you fights. And the PFL, they have a regular season, a postseason, and a championship. So if you want to be a champion, you have to win, and that's it. You don't have to talk shit. You don't have to look good. You don't even have to win in spectacular fashion. You just have to win. And I think, I don't know, that's... that fits my personality.
Yeah, but listen, that's funny that you may say that. Fighting is an art. Say,
yeah.
Evan's our teacher, and he teaches both me and you.
Mm-hmm.
The same shit.
Mm-hmm.
We both know the same shit. In it. But when people see us fight, they'll see his style, but our energy, and it would look like two different fighters.
Of course, right.
Isn't that a trip?
Oh, for
it's
sure.
Two different fighters.
That's really interesting.
It's wild.
Don't even look like we've been trained by the same person.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Fighting is all personality and spirit. That's why, you know, some people win in spectacular fashion. Not even trying, but it's just their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not even trying. Some people look good without even fucking trying. Some fighters.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. They don't got the heart sometimes or the endurance, but when you watch them, say, fuck, he's beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Some people just look good, like Federer. Federer looked beautiful when he plays tennis.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to watch. You know, the guy that was playing, I said, fuck, I just want to watch him play.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hitting to him, I'm just watching him fucking hit me back. He looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It's true.
Absolutely.
It's true.
So, Don Davis.
Yes.
Was in here.
Yes, he was.
With Ray.
Sappho?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And they were talking about potentially matching you up with Chris Cyborg.
Are you the same weight?
Mm-hmm.
Same weight?
Yeah. Well, I'm bigger than her, actually.
Really?
We love Chris, and now we love you as well.
Yeah, Chris was here, too. We had Chris here.
Yeah, we had Chris on the pod.
So what do you think about Chris?
I mean, I've never met her. I don't know her personally. I don't know. I follow her career, and I...
She's a great person.
She seems like she's got a good heart. I feel like, too, she's really... She's a fighter. You know, she has had kind of a... I have a lot of respect for her because of everything she's gone through. People just shit on her, and promotions don't treat her right. And
why is that?
I think it's because it's like it's entertainment, and they can't or don't want to promote her as what she is, which is a friggin' monster. You know, they don't want to. They don't. She's not a petite little blonde thing, and that's unfortunate. But that doesn't mean she's not gifted, talented, a monster. So I give her props. I mean, she's been through the trenches. She's fought and fought and fought and been so good that they couldn't ignore her. But I think there's a new sheriff in town.
I like that. I was waiting for that to come about.
And
okay, Kayla. Okay.
You know, I think...
As a fighter who's in it right now, you're in the midst of your career.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about what Mike said? Where are you on the scale of fighting for love and fighting for honor? Which?
No, I feel like that's why I'm almost hesitant to even talk, like, say anything right now, because I'm going through this weird, I don't want to say, like, transformation, but my brain is spinning right now. My mind is like, Kayla, like, everything you've been thinking and feeling and doing and trying to accomplish, and, like, listen, what if you've been wrong this whole time? Like, you asshole, you know, like.
No, no, that's, listen, this is an interesting world. If we thought, if me and you, if just myself, if I had 10 positive thoughts that came to mind, if I gave myself 10 or 100 affirmations, right, say how much how grateful I am for my eyes, my back, my body, and my ability to think and all that stuff. 1,000, like 10,000 million negatives. It's coming rushing right quick. You piece of shit. How dare you? You think you're fooling with all this positive bullshit, nigga? Wow. Man, that's, now you hear that? You know that, huh?
Yeah.
Nigga, who you think you bullshit?
I mean,
Isn't that negativity a motherfucker?
Yeah, well, there would be no positive without the negative.
Fuck. Why did it do that to you? Shit. You think you're on the phone. I'm on a mission. That things are going good. And he said, who do you think you're fooling, nigga?
Because you'll always have that. It's, you know? That we're programmed to have that in our mind.
Yeah. I don't know. My whole career, I mean, since I was 16, I've practiced visualization and positive thoughts.
Yeah.
Like every night before I go to bed, I would visualize myself winning the Olympics. I'd go through everything, you know, my warm up, the weigh ins, you know, the bus ride to the venue, like walking through the chute, having my coach tell me what's going on, the first match, the second match, the third match. I would visualize, you know, winning and feeling the gold medal go around my neck and watching the American flag be raised and hearing the national anthem. And I still practice that for fighting. I still visualize all of those things. And I still try and practice positive thoughts like, you know, this is my day, this is my purpose. I'm not afraid to win. Kayla Harrison, Olympic champion, one punch at a time, one exchange at a time, one round at a time, 1 minute at a time, one breath at a time. But now I'm like,
love it.
Is that just my ego? Like, am I doing this? Should I not be thinking like that?
Have you been thinking that way since before you came on the pod?
That's how I used... No, I always just
when
thought
did
I was
this
doing
transition?
It right. I always felt like, okay, this is what you're meant to do. This is what you're supposed to do. You have to be positive. Of course, those negative thoughts come in. Of course, I think, who do you think you are? And what if you're not meant for this? What if this is... What if you made the wrong choice? What if you weren't ever supposed to step in a cage? What if this girl knocks you out? What if you lose? What if you don't accomplish what you want to accomplish? And I always try and drown them out with positive thoughts, and I always try and just keep my mantra going and keep thinking that. But now I'm thinking maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe I'm not supposed to be focusing on that at all. Like, what if I'm just supposed to be? And I don't... There's no such thing as positive and negative. What if I'm just supposed to just be?
No, all that energy telling you to do, you got to feed into that.
You That's think so?
It's feeding into your fire right now. All that energy feeding
right, but
into
now,
your fire.
But now that's my ego.
No, listen.
You energy, got me all the, fucked the, up.
No.
The energy is going to check that. The energy is going to check that. But oh, this is where it gets tricky at, right? Alan Watt. You can't do this. You can't use your ego for you to help you.
I'm literally sweating right now. That's how worked up I am.
Even you can't use your ego to help you win all these fights and say, thank you, bye-bye.
Yeah.
You
go like this. You go say,
Where do you think you're
We're
going?
We're here.
I got you all this fame. I want to fuck that motherfucker right there. What the fuck you mean? What the fuck you mean? Thank you, bye-bye, nothing else.
Yeah.
Nah, I want to see him naked. I want to go to this party. I want to do that. What do you mean? No, thank you. Thank you for that. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Shit. Well, you know, I think that a lot of that, those negative voices... You know, it takes a lot of practice to rewire those out of your thinking because those are all of the voices that imprinted on you in a time when you didn't know otherwise. You know, those are the people that said you couldn't fucking do it. You weren't big enough. You weren't strong enough.
For me personally, I don't know if this... I want to ask you about it anyways. It's like, I've always felt confident in my career and confident there. And had been, but it's when I get to the personal stuff. Like, I think I'm dirty, or I think I don't deserve love, or I think no one will love me if I don't win. Or
well, you think you're special, huh? You think you're special.
No, that's what I mean, though. But how do you stop that shit from... Like, I don't want to think like that. Listen, I don't want to feel like I don't deserve love.
Truth is, it's like, you have to love yourself first, and that's tough.
How?
How do we love ourselves? No, no, it's loving myself. Me in an orgy, loving myself. Me going to the store, buying great clothes, loving myself. Me buying a nice car, loving myself. Buying a house. No, loving yourself is just being conscious of the eating right. Take care of, eat properly. Don't eat that bullshit.
Get enough sleep.
Get enough sleep. Take some vitamins. Don't drink tonight. You know what I mean? Maybe drink is going to put on too much weight. Maybe I drink one glass of wine instead of a whole fucking bottle. Maybe I learn some discipline, and, you know, discipline is doing what I hate to do, but do it like I love it. And doing things like not going out, not hanging out with people who are toxic for me. You know the toxic ones. Yeah. Those are people you want to be with the most.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Realize that it's not good. Everything that tastes good isn't good. You just have the urge to improve yourself.
Yeah.
To get closer to God or closer to the universe, so to speak.
And when you don't do that, and when you do hang out with those toxic people, then the universe just starts shitting on you.
And listen, for some reason, right, in the history of the world, it's the fighters that attracts the people for some reason. The generals, those kind of combative people, they attract people.
The warriors.
Yeah, they attract people and stuff. Even if they, some of them are children, where they're children, they don't even know how to think. Their mind's not fully developed, but they have wise men still following them.
Yep. Why do you think that is?
Because they feel that this person is touched without knowing, and their job to educate them with their theory, of course, why he's special. Because you're a Muslim, because you're a Christian, because you're a Buddhist, because you're this, and I'm going to show you, tell you why, who you are, and this and that.
Now, and then they take that special magic and they harness it to their benefit.
Yes, to their best interest. Everybody has... Yeah, everybody has some kind of interest. You know, it could be... They're not all bad ones, but everybody has their own agenda. That's like with Jesus. People took advantage of Jesus, prophets and all that stuff. Being seen with the prophets, betraying the prophets, whatever the situation may be. Everybody wants to get a piece of that. That's how that's how we are. We're so superstitious. We still believe... And magic and all that stuff.
Well, that's why it's funny that people don't recognize, you know, the influence they have just being in a room with other people, you know? Yet we have this idea of, like, touching and being close to our superstars.
Yeah. We believe it's going to rub off. That's what I believe.
But then...
I believe if you touch somebody famous or be around famous people. All my life I believed them when I was a kid. That's going to be, you got to be famous if you touch them or something.
Right,
that's
right.
What everybody, I think, believes. That's why people bring their kids out to touch famous people.
Yeah.
Mayors or presidents and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They believe it's going to rub off.
I know.
That's what we believe. In a way, it is true.
Yeah.
That it is true.
Yeah.
That success is contagious.
Mike, it's true, and you don't even have to be that close to people, like you said.
You watch them on television.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see somebody on television, and they inspire you to be...
Right. It impacts never your life. Never, it's that little...
from another country, or she's from another country, can't even speak your language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird world.
It's bizarre, the exchange of energy.
I just wonder, when we die, do we figure out the secrets?
We got all the secrets.
Do we meet God or are we God?
I think you know we realize we've got all the secrets, dude.
Yeah. You're already. It's all there. Yeah.
You know, I think that when it's all over, you go, oh, fuck. It was all true.
When we die, do we wake up from a dream and then we're like looking around?
Yeah.
And we're sitting around the planet and say, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah. So just a little, since we were talking about giving you a little... tutorial on CBD and cannabis. So we have in our bodies the endocannabinoid system.
Okay.
That's a system that produces these compounds that are endogenous cannabinoids. And these chemical compounds that we create, they're responsible for keeping our body in homeostasis, in balance, hormonal balance. So it's involved in how we feel and deal with pain, our mood, our appetite, And there's one more thing. Fuck. Oh, our sleep rhythms. And so the cannabis plant contains cannabinoids that are mirror replicas of the things that we produce in our body.
Hmm.
So when you ingest cannabinoids, it's aiding your body. It's facilitating the recovery process. That's why, you know, people experience all the things. They are, their mood is adjusted. You know, they're taken into a much more peaceful state of mind. People get hungry, or your appetite is even suppressed in some cases. I don't know about you, Mike, but when I smoke weed, I don't get hungry.
When I was younger, I used to get hungry.
Yeah, interesting.
And now I don't, boom.
Interesting.
The people say, how do you lose weight smoking weed every day?
Right, because you're fasting.
Yeah, it helps me fast.
Yeah, I agree. So building on that, the federal government has a patent on cannabinoids as neuroprotectants and antioxidants. So they've seen in research that these chemical compounds actually can come into our brain, help our brains heal after a traumatic brain injury or a concussion, and they can protect our brain from damage. That's why I got into this, you know, just doing a lot of speaking on this, because I played pro football, suffered a lot of head injuries, concussions throughout my career, was consuming cannabis the whole way through, and feel like I'm in a much better place because of that.
Right.
Because I was constantly, my brain was saturated in cannabinoids, you know. So CBD is the non-psychoactive component, so it doesn't get you high. You feel a little relaxed. Though,
I totally do.
Right?
Yeah.
It chills you down a little bit. THC is psychoactive. They're both very medicinal. But that's really, you know, Tyson Ranch, this whole company is really about bringing access of this really sacred plant medicine to the people who need it, you know?
That's awesome.
So why was I talking about that?
Actually, she's aware of DMT.
Do you know about DMT?
No.
Wow.
So DMT is another compound that we produce in our brains, and it's also found in psychedelic.
What does DMT stand for?
Dimethyltryptamine.
Okay.
And it's found, this guy, this is the toad, this is our representative of the toad. The toad is a sacred creature utilized for the 5-MeO-DMT found in its venom that you can extract and smoke, and you have a experience of God, all of the things that you're talking about, being connected to spirit and your purpose in the world, the toad taps you into that.
And it's natural. It's from this earth.
It's from the earth. The toad is a...
Somebody like you might think you're God after doing that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
It shows you things. It downloads.
I feel like that.
It's a powerful substance.
You're probably right.
I don't think I would.
You realize there's a God and you should bow to him. No, I'm serious.
I agree with that.
You should bow with him.
It's also found in other plant medicines like ayahuasca, but you know it's incredible because it gives you an experience of an ego death.
Really?
Yeah. Which can be very scary for some people. You know, the first thing it does is it dissolves your ego. DMT goes in and it just vaporizes your ego. So that thing that is the veil between you and the outside world is just gone. And so once you do that, then you can have an experience of truth. You know, you see a lot of your pain. You know, it takes you into the traumas of your life and it releases you from that.
Yeah.
You know, because it gives you this perspective on, you know, the experiences you've had in your life and how that's led to create this individual.
Without the ego.
Exactly.
And
Holy shit.
Experience will include sometimes, he's not telling you this, you know, while you're going through this experience, you know, you're peaceful, you're going through this experience, your body's going through another experience.
Really?
Your body's going, oh, no, God, please, no! Oh, no!
Really?
Yeah. Tell them, that could be, you could run
That's
through that.
Possible.
Your body freaking out?
Some people have that.
Freaked out. They told
Maybe because your ego was so powerful.
Oh, no, it wasn't powerful at all.
Well, once it dissolved.
It wasn't powerful at all. Oh, really? I didn't know if I was straight, gay, fat. I don't know. Please, God, let me go. No, I want to get out of here. It's just some shit.
Did you do it again afterwards?
I did it around 7 times.
Oh, my God.
All different experiences. Really? But none of them's the same. None of them's the same, buddy. None. You may wake up crying. Oh, God, please, I'm sorry. It's just, whoa. It's like, whoa.
Gives you a lot of information.
Well, about yourself.
In one time.
And the universe. Yeah.
It's like 10,000 years of experience coming in 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah,
because it only the toad specifically lasts about 20 minutes.
That's not too bad. Well, 20 minutes.
And but you feel so good. You feel like it feels good dying. You feel so, wow. And then you wake up and you say, what the fuck happened? I want to go back in there. It's like a letdown when you wake up.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a downer. You're going to go back in there again.
I can't tell if I really want to try it or if I never want to touch it.
Oh, listen, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You know, I went there looking for wealth and money and stuff. Hopefully, I'll get money.
The answers,
information and all that stuff. And I believe I got enlightened. And none of that.
Really?
And I believe all this fighting, all this struggle, all this stuff that I want, it's all come to letting it go, giving it away. What was the purpose of that struggle for it? Why am I struggling for it? And it's just gonna...
Tell us about your book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's awesome. How long ago
did... I don't even know if I...
How long ago did that come out?
It came out April of last year.
Okay, awesome.
It's called Fighting Back. And it's not a textbook. It's not a memoir. It sort of uses... I wrote it with two psychologists... from McLean Hospital. So it uses my story as a guideline. I actually kept journals the entire time I was being sexually abused. Right. So from...
Tell me about what's that? Like, you know, you're 8 years old, you were saying?
Like 10, I started 10, keeping journals.
You started writing. My daughter keeps journals, and she's 10.
Yeah.
Wow, that was...
But I...
You're facing that pain constantly.
But I used to write to God.
Yeah?
So I would write, Dear God, and then I would... I wouldn't talk about the actual experiences because I was afraid that someone would read it, but I would, I don't know how to explain it. It sucked writing the book. Let me just say that. Like right after the Olympics, I had been trying to write it between 2012 and 2016. And right after the 2016 Olympics, when I was having my panic attack and I was depressed and didn't want to get out of bed and didn't have a goal, I was like, I need to do this. I need to write this. I need to get it out there. And going back and seeing that, you know, 10-year-old girl, that 13-year-old girl who just wrote, I want to kill myself, 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 over and over and over again, was hard. But also gave me a little bit of peace, I guess, at the same time, to know that I'm not there anymore, and I made it out of it. And by sharing it, hopefully someone else will make it out of it too, you know? So I write, they use my story. I talk about everything that happened. And then the psychologists come in and they explain, this is what grooming is, you know? This is why kids don't say anything. This is how you can talk to your son or daughter. This is how you can start to have the conversation. This is, you know, what the court process will be like and how traumatic it may be for your child. So why you need to be careful and handle them with care. And also, you know, by the end, it sort of says, look, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There can be two shiny gold medals. There can be, you don't have to be a victim. You can be a survivor. You can be someone who thrives.
Thriver, yeah.
You can choose.
That's so powerful.
Thank you.
To get that out there. I mean, amazing.
Thank you. It's probably my proudest accomplishment.
I believe it. I mean, fighting just really gave you a platform to do that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, you've done... That's something really big. You know, that's really big and really important. And you say that, you know, in this current version of you... You still believe, you know, you believe deep in your heart you're meant for something greater. You have a purpose to fulfill.
I don't know what.
We just fucked you all up.
No, my brain is like
Okay, but before that happened,
like at half before an hour you came ago, in here and sure got fucking
coded.
Watching them, listening them, you think you're thinking that. Imagine when you're 40, what you know. Fuck, it's gonna blow your mind.
I'm not ready.
I mean, we've gone into some deep water.
No
here.
Shit, you guys. You've just changed me. I hope you know that.
Really?
You both changed me.
No, you.
I will walk
yourself.
Out of this room and I'll never
you
be the same again.
Because you came here because it was meant for you to be here.
Yeah.
No, it totally was.
You changed us.
I don't know about that. But
you had an effect on us for sure.
We see your hunger and your fucking determination.
Yeah. And your bravery.
Yeah.
And your light.
And your ambition.
But it's not even, I don't even believe it's good anymore.
No, it is.
It is good. It's great. You just have to keep listening to your intuition.
No, it made it good. It will start, you question your ego.
Yeah.
It doesn't like that at all.
Yeah, no.
What the fuck you got in here with these guys?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm in all kinds of inner turmoil right now.
Yeah, questioning me, all the shit I did for you.
I'm literally sweating. I had to close my... I'm like sweating. I'm anxious.
Motherfuckers. All this shit to you all these years, get you these two gold medals, and you just meet these two motherfuckers, and they're going to tell you I'm fucked up. No, really. Look, I got you all this shit. You just meet these guys, and they're going to tell you I'm fucked up, and you kind of buy it.
They're going to change your mind.
You kind of buying it.
It's true.
They think, what's the fuck wrong with you?
It's true.
You're fucking crazy.
Hey, no.
But I love it. We grow at the edges of our experience.
You have to.
This is a total new experience.
I love that.
For me, and it's a total... This is, I'm so questioning everything.
Listen,
everything.
That's a great way to be.
Ego. I'm going to tell you, ego is your enemy, right?
Mm.
But know what your ego will do? Take you all the way to the height that you never dreamed of. Fucking crush you, drop you, bury you, and bring you back.
Yeah, yeah.
And bring you back.
Yeah.
And drop you again. And you say, I give up, oh God.
I'm
and you
done.
Might see, and then you might see a reflection in yourself and say, I'm beautiful. What the fuck? Ooh, I need a shirt. And next thing you're back again. It's the nigga is some sick shit. No, listen, we're laughing, but it's not.
No,
funny.
It is. I know what it's you're saying funny, because yeah. I've done it a million times.
Shit.
Of course, you sports emulate. Sports are that with yeah. your ego. It's like the most pure form of it, right? Because it's
exactly.
you versus absolutely. Another person. So winning and losing is the most pure form of your ego getting what it wants and then crushing you when you don't get listen. What you want.
Then it goes this way too. This is funny. You may get the biggest victory of your life from a loss.
Mm.
Yeah, it's crazy. You just, fuck. You grab something.
And you know what I'm also thinking now? And I've been sort of on this, leaning towards this more and more, but I look back on my life and I look back on everything that's happened and this and that. And I'm beginning to learn and think that, what if it's just a journey?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if I'm striving for all these things and doing all these things, but every fucking day, that's what I should have been seeing was every day. Every time I went to strength and conditioning, not every time I won a fight, but every time I had an interaction with this person, or I had sparred with this person, or I did this, or I, like, every single day, that journey, like, that's what ran through my mind when I was on top of the podium. It wasn't a gold medal going around my neck like, oh, yeah, I did it. It was like a barrage of images of every person who's ever been a part, like every doctor who taped my knee, every training partner, every coach, every moment, every like little girl who came up to me. All of these faces were just like bombarding my brain, and I was like, fuck, maybe that's what it was about. And this stupid piece of metal doesn't mean shit.
You know, people like to tear their souls apart. Human beings, we're the only species that I think like to tear our souls apart. We're afraid of things that we know don't even exist.
Mm.
We're afraid of things that we never even encountered before. Mm. How do we know it's dangerous to us?
Our greatest fears are our greatest waste of time.
Exactly.
Mm. You're dropping some gems.
That's not me. That's Jen Sincero.
No, that's real stuff.
She's the shit.
Time. Hey, it's all good, you know? Well, Kayla, why don't you tell everybody where they can follow you, find you, follow your story?
Interesting occasion today.
Hell yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter. I think it's being changed to Kayla H, but before it was Judo Kayla. You can follow me on Instagram at Judo Kayla, and on Facebook, Kayla Harrison, and my website is KaylaHarrison.com.
All right, man. Take us out here. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody, to this episode of Hot Boxing. I think it was a special one. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hot Boxing with my man, Mike Tyson. Lots of love to you guys. Until next time, I'm Eben Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson.
And this is Kayla Harrison. And we're out.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.